it really varies individually. And if you have that, or you already have those base, what we call base, aerobic base there, it's easy to transfer to running. So the couch is not couch, but it's a couch, an athlete on the couch. It's different from a potato on the couch. So that's what I'm trying to say.
If you are constantly worried about getting injured or you don't know how to get faster as a runner and you want to continue to run for stress relief, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Healthy Runner, the only place that provides you with training tips, injury recovery, and prevention tools with actionable strategies by experts in the running industry so you can develop a stronger running body and feel confident that you can overcome any obstacle as a runner. I'm your host, Dr. Dwayne Scotty, avid runner, running physical therapist and coach, educator, founder of Spark Healthy Runner, where we help dedicated runners get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running with the perfect online running coach, even if you've been told to stop running with an injury or you think coaching is just for fast runners. Learn more about our signature coaching program at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. Every week, we help a runner just like you learn how to consistently get in your mental clearing miles and even hit PRs well into your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or follow the show on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks for joining me. Now on to the show. This episode is powered by UCAN. Whether you are looking for food to eat before a run or even during a run and you don't want it to upset your stomach, or if you're looking for that mid-morning or afternoon snack to power you through your workday, I have the jack of all trades UCAN product for you. It is their great tasting energy bars. My personal favorite is the salted peanut butter, which is dairy free, but I have many clients who just love the chocolate fudge energy bar. No matter which flavor you choose, you really can't go wrong because each bar packs a punch without compromising your health. With gluten-free ingredients and low sugar, they provide up to 75 minutes of steady energy with no spikes, crashes, or jitters to remain easy on your stomach. You know how important it is to implement a simple, easy-to-use nutrition strategy to fuel your body in order to grow as a runner. Fuel smarter now and get 20% off of all of your UCAN orders just for being a part of this community. Simply go to ucan.co/healthyrunner. That's ucan.co, not .com. Or just click the special link I have for you in the show notes and grab your 20% off when you pop in the code Healthy Runner. Go ahead and give this versatile tool in your runner's toolbox a try. I know you're just going to love UCAN's energy bars. Now let's get into this week's episode. Are you getting ready to run your race? So whether it's a 5K, half marathon, or marathon, we're going to answer your questions that the listeners wanted to know. Welcome to episode 221 on the Healthy Runner Podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. I've got Coach Lou back on the show, our race expert here, to help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy some injury-free lifelong running, and talk about race day strategy and your questions. What's going on, Coach? How are we doing today?
Doing great. I'm so happy to be back and share some knowledge with you and answer your questions. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So for our new listeners to the show here, can you share just a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do?
Okay. I'm Coach Lou. I'm a run coach, a personal trainer, and I have been a part of a Spark coaching team since the beginning. And it was fun. And I like running. I run different races. I run different pace, different distances, but especially marathons. I have run a few Boston marathons, qualified for it, and it's fun. I like learning. I like to run. And along the way, I like helping people. I like the community. It's great, and I've been enjoying it.
Nice. For those listening to the or watching the video version of this on YouTube, you can see behind Coach Lou, he has a plethora of medals. If you had to guess, I don't even know if you know the number, Lou. How many races would you say you've actually run?
Races in terms of marathons or 5Ks or everything?
Anything, marathons, whatever you actually know the number. Or if you had
Hard
a guess.
Marathons, one or two per year. I do quote-unquote run marathons and work out a bit. And 5Ks, a lot throughout the year, maybe two or three. I don't even count. And half marathons, maybe one per year. So I run a race here and there. There's this group called 169 Group. The background is we have 169 towns in Connecticut, and there's a group to try to run a race in each town. So I've been running here and there, but it's more like a workout. It's like a fun, and I'm just happy to be there in the race. I've been pacing a lot too. So I've been those in the group in marathon, half marathons, you see those people holding a sign, try to run a consistent pace, and you see me everywhere. I'm trying to run a marathon in all the 50 states. So I've been running many, many races, but then really, if I say race effort, only one or two per year. But I've been to many races. Chances I've been run, if you are in America, I run in your state or so, planning to run.
So how many states are we in our pathway to 50 here?
I think I've done 16 states so far.
Yeah, you knocked a bunch off since last year when we spoke around this time. If I remember correctly, in the spring we did an episode. And yeah, you knocked a bunch off since then. So you run a lot of races. And whether or not it's race effort or a training run for you, mm-hmm. you have a lot of experience running races. And you have a lot of experience helping many of our athletes run races within our Healthy Runner coaching program. For context, guys, myself in looking, I just looked at kind of my totals here because I like to keep records and, you know, to be able to track progress over time. So mm-hmm. I've done a total of 76 races in my adult onset running journey mm-hmm. the past 13 years. I've done 33 half marathons, and all of them have been races. Except actually one, I should say, the Disney half marathon this past year with my wife. And actually the other Disney one I did with my wife 4 years ago. It wasn't a race for me. But right. So the half marathon distance, I've raced a lot. And then mm-hmm. I've done now four marathons in which I've raced. So kind of giving you guys some context here of today's topic of, you know, your race questions answered and race strategy. Between Coach Lou and I, we probably have 300 races under our belt and have probably coached, I would say, up to 1,000 athletes, right? Like to prepare for their race. So that's kind of the context and background of what we're going to be answering in our questions, or what we're going to be answering in your questions, I should say. And today's episode really has a freebie download that comes along with it. And that's our race day blueprint, where we provide you 10 tips to crush your race. So it's really the ultimate free guide to executing the perfect race preparation and crushing your race for your big day. It's 10 proven tactics to feel strong and feel confident, so you actually enjoy the race day experience. It's an online mini book written specifically for you to take away the guesswork, and includes our race ready checklist and a race day game plan, because you have to have a strategy to provide you the structure of what you need for your big day. So whether you're running a 5K, half marathon, marathon, this blueprint will provide you all the tips and tricks to help really set you up for the perfect race. And we have kind of bonus video content throughout. And as most of you know by now, there are 6 parts to growing in your running journey that need to be optimized so you can run strong and last long. And those parts are mindset, strength training, run plan, nutrition, recovery, and race strategy. And when we execute these 6 parts of our running journey, we're going to only not feel more confident in getting stronger and faster, but we're going to stay healthy and enjoy the process of running again. and we can crush some races along the way, right? So if you're anything like Lou and I, who we like to challenge ourselves as adults, right? And, you know, add a little competitiveness to it. And so therefore, in today's episode, you're really going to get your race strategy bucket filled with a bunch of goodies and tips from Coach Lou and I that you can really implement into your race day plan. At the time of this recording, it is mid-March. Lou and I both have had athletes that have raced last weekend. We had the New York City half last weekend, and now it's kind of race season. So we're kind of getting ready for all those spring half marathons and marathons that people are running. And Boston's coming up, right? Like, we got a lot of races that London's coming up. So a lot of races to get excited for. And yeah, just like last week, Coach Brooke really talked about kind of filling the nutrition bucket. Today, it's all about race strategy. So you guys submitted questions. So thank you very much, by the way, for those listeners that submitted questions. If you don't know and you ever want your question answered on the podcast, any of the episodes, if you go to the show notes, there's actually a form that I have with a link that you can just click that link, drop your question in the form. After usually a couple months, we kind of compile all those questions anyway, and we put them into like an Ask Dwayne episode or Ask the Coaches. And for this one, we really wanted to kind of get everyone ready for their spring races, and who better to bring on than Coach Lou? So that was kind of the goal of today. So if you ever want your question answered, drop them on that form, and we're going to answer it on the podcast on the next episode. All right, let's get to the first question that was submitted by Ashley. Ashley, thank you very much. So she says, first marathon in September. She's three smaller races before. What do you wish you knew before your first marathon? I'm going to send it over to you, Coach Lou.
Wow, there are so many things that I wish I know. I learned so much over the year. I'm still learning. The first one, I would say the most important one, is that race strategy, which is great for today's topic. You don't want to go out really hard and then slow and fade away. And that, unfortunately, is what happened for many people's first marathon. And almost my first marathon, but I was pretty steady for my first marathon. However, over the years, I wish I'd know is that now it's pretty well known among our coaches. If you have worked with any of our coaches, is that in a marathon, I break it into three parts. The marathon is 26.2 miles. I usually break it to three parts. First part is 6 miles, about 10K. It's when you're just getting warm up. So that shouldn't be really hard. It should be easy. And then from 6 to 20 is when you are holding strong effort. And then the last 10K, 6 miles, is where the really real race starts. You go hard and then you go for it. And I wish I know at that time we use RPE, which is a level from 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest, a zombie is chasing you, 1 is really hard, really slow, is you are stuck behind a bunch of workers. So that's RPE scale. And I hope I knew that when it's my first marathon, the first 6 mile, 10K, you use RPE really low. The marathon RPE, by the way, is 6 to 7. So the first 10K is 5 to 6, so not really hard. And then the majority of the marathon should be 6 to 7. If somewhat comfortable, that you can hold for a long time, but not jogging. And that's what shows your training is. You're the majority of the part. You try to flow. And at the very end, you go really hard. The RP can go to 8, and towards the end, maybe 9. But that's when the real race starts. So that's the race strategy I wish I didn't know. There are other things there, like nutrition, the 6 steps, right? The 6 part of the training. I wish I know the nutrition. I wish I know the nutrition better. And tapering, not just the just that, not just the reduce the running, but also that electrolytes, the carb load, and all these things that when you're running really, really hard, all these things make a difference. So there's a lot of things I learned along the way, and I can spend a whole day talking about this. But the thing, if you have already done your training, if you're approaching the race day, that race strategy is really helpful. It comes in handy.
Wow, that was definitely super, super insightful, Lou. And Ashley, what I would add to that really is I wish I knew how much the marathon deserved respect before my first one.
Always.
And I didn't realize that it wasn't just you're doing two half marathons. The amount of stress to the body in training, the amount of stress to your mind to get over the mindset hurdles that you're going to have on race day. And then kind of what Lou said in terms of like the fueling, the hydration, the electrolyte, all of that is magnified. So some people, especially if you're on the younger side there, Ashley, can get away with kind of skimping on some of those other areas and still like finish half marathon. And Brooke mentioned this last week, there's a lot that you're leaving on the table usually if you skimp on those, but you can kind of finish the half marathon and still feel like good about yourself. That is exposed in the marathon distance. Like you get exposed real quickly. And I did my first one. So I cramped up, I've shared this story before, cramped up mile 20, painful walking cramps everywhere throughout my legs, really because of the training element, because of the hydration, because of the electrolytes. So I guess that's my biggest take home is that the marathon deserves some serious respect, not to scare you, but you do have to do it correctly. So hopefully you found our marathon training blueprint, where we have a lot of marathon specific training in that actual blueprint. If you go to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/marathon, you'll find it. Get that download. I would literally listen to all those trainings that we've done, follow our advice. And if you need guidance, like reach out to a coach because a coach can like make a world of a difference for you to really like tailor it and structure it to like what you need. So
I definitely agree with that. So even for me, I ran tons of marathons last year. Not always. I use that as a workout. And I know people who ran hundreds of marathons. They still fail in some marathons because they're in, like just like you said, a marathon is just it's not just two half marathons combined together. It's more like three marathons. And not to scare you, just you have to plan for it. You have to respect it. But you don't have to be scared of it. You just have to embrace it and then just do things right. Because everything that you're not doing right will be magnified. If you don't eat a gel half marathon, you may be fine, especially if you're in the fast side. But then for the half marathon, you will definitely run out of fuel. You may hit a wall. If you run too fast, you're going to see that. You see the consequence. Dramatically, if you don't hydrate the day before, if you walk too much, a lot of us go to a marathon to go to good place as a travel part of travel. So, you're excited. You start to travel the day before, and then the next day you go to marathon. Your legs are already tired. All these things, little things, they show up because marathon needs some respect. But you see that there are not. Big, you just have to be careful and respect it, and you can still do it. Don't be scared.
All right. I love it. So thank you again, Ashley, for submitting your question. Yeah, we probably could literally do a whole episode on that, Lou, but I'm going to try to advance the conversation here to get to the next question.
Yes.
And that is, would a super shoe with a rocker design sole be effective for running a downhill race? And Bob K wants to know, I think this is our buddy Bob from Connecticut, would like to know the answer. What do you say, Coach Lou?
I haven't run a downhill course, that like the one I'm going to run, the Rebel Race, but I did run Boston. I'll say super shoes. Okay, so if you train your long runs, if you do your workouts, tempo runs, fast runs, assume that when you have super shoes, you're already doing some speed work. You are not just go there to finish a marathon, or half marathon for that matter. You are going there to run fast, finish fast. So you are doing some speed work. So you already wear the shoes for your hard runs and long runs. So you are used to it. So that's the first important thing. So make sure you use that shoe before, regardless it's uphill, downhill, flat. Then specifically for downhill is that when you go downhill, the toe is tend to hit the front. So if your shoe is already tight, then you are more likely to have black nails. But if you don't have to just buy a shoe that's half a size up or four size up from your regular shoe, I would say just stay with the shoes that you trained before, but just make sure that when you run, you don't never have problems with swollen feet.
Yeah,
so that's what I want to say. So you still stay with the shoes you had before. If you want to try anything, just like the old saying goes, nothing new on a race day. So if you want to go and try some shoe that's slightly longer because it's just easier to hit the front when you go downhill. If you want to do that, you want to do that during your training. You don't want to do that at the last week or a couple of weeks before the race. You want to do something that's proven before. So the super shoe, good, great if you use that before, and then you can just take it to the downhill race. The only thing I want to say, just make sure it's not super, super tight, and because downhill make it even worse. So that's what I have.
Yeah, so thank you, Lou, for that. And I guess I'll just take a step back just for those listening who are like, what the heck are they talking about super shoe? So the super shoes are these race-specific shoes that many of the elite runners have used really for the last like decade now, and mm-hmm. have become really popular and mainstream now in recreational runners that want to challenge themselves. And initially, they were all known as the carbon fiber shoes. So if you've heard that term before, and now research has shown that it's not actually the carbon fiber plate that produces increased efficiency in the shoe, but it is actually these special foams that they're made out of, which are lighter weight. So it really deals with the weight of the shoe, and the lighter the weight shoe, the better the performance. And technology has advanced with these foams, and these foams that have a higher stack height. So mm-hmm. when you take the foot and you send it higher off the ground, and it has a light foam, but they have the carbon plate in it to add stability to the shoe. So it's not like you're just like stepping on, you know, a soft, mushy surface where you get no rebound and able to like spring off of the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what a super shoe is, if you haven't heard of it. I would agree with Coach Lou's point in, I'm not a huge fan of someone who is running a race and they're not really looking to push time, and they're not looking to run at, by the end of the race, an 8 or 9 out of 10 effort, probably don't need a super shoe. And if you're not doing speed work and training, you probably don't need a super shoe either. That being said, I've had some individuals who are a little more advanced in age, have some osteoarthritis in their knees and hips, and they feel like it does help alleviate some pain, joint stresses. So if it feels better for them, like, I'm totally cool with that. And kind of to Bob's point here, these super shoes are designed with a rocker sole, essentially, is all of them now are set to actually take you from your rear foot, so striking on your heel or your mm-hmm. midfoot, and get you on your toe. Because if we can get you on your toe quicker and more propulsive, you're going to be faster. So that's kind of the rocker effect, and the geometry of the shoe basically functions like a rocker. So mm-hmm. my point to your question, Bob and Lou, we talked about this in our downhill running episode, kind of, is if you are an overstrider, mm-hmm. and we talked about on that episode, so if you guys want to go back, it's pretty much like 5 or 6 episodes before this one, we talked about like form with running downhill, that a lot of people tend to struggle, and if they haven't practiced downhill running a lot, to overstride. So mm-hmm. if you are striking with your heel, like Lou just mentioned, that you'll tend to hit your forefoot because mm-hmm. he's like really skilled and advanced and is really efficient at running down hills. But if you're newer and it's hard for you to actually strike on your midfoot or your forefoot mm-hmm. and you tend to strike with your heel, the super shoe theoretically should help advance you off of your heel a little quicker, sending you to the forefoot. So I would say that, Bob, if you've like struggled and you've noticed that you're always kicking out, and I feel like I've seen some of your race photos on Facebook, and I feel like you are a heel striker, because I could just picture you with that smile. You got the guns hanging out in your tank top there. And I feel like I've seen that you do have more of a heel strike form. So if you're asking for yourself specifically, I feel like it would benefit you to have, you know, and utilize your super shoe if you are running a downhill race. But I would be careful, as Coach Lou said, about getting the issue with wind up losing a toenail or getting black and blue toenail. Mm-hmm. My Cape Cod marathon that I ran in October definitely had some hills in it. Mm-hmm. And my shoe was just a little snug, never showed up in training, but on race day, it did show up where I wound up getting a black and blue toenail for the first time ever in a race, just because it was hitting the edge of the shoe a little bit more than it should. So I wound up actually sizing up a half size for the super shoe that I got for the Disney marathon. And I didn't have any issues at all with my toenails, luckily. So great point that you made there, Lou, as far as downhill races, you got to be careful and might size up and make sure that you have your lockdown appropriate mm-hmm. where you're not going to slide in your shoe. And then obviously if it's raining and that element, if your socks are going to be wet, then you might get a little bit more slippage as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the big thing you want to watch out with those downhill races. So hopefully that was helpful. Thank you for submitting your question, Bob. Keep crushing your races. Love seeing your photos on Facebook there. Next question comes from Dina, one of our favorite happy running clients, who's just doing amazing training for her half marathon with Coach Kat. We'll be running the Cheshire half, and we'll actually be able to meet in person that week. So I'm excited to meet Dina, who's a Floridian runner, who's just doing some amazing things. So Dina says, do you believe everyone can run a marathon, even runners over 56 or slower pace? What do you say, Coach Lou?
I'd like to expand it a little bit. So first, I want to make sure that there's no medical issue that prevents you from running it. Other than that, it's totally possible. Let's say, put it this way. If you walk 3 miles an hour, marathon is 26 miles, let's say 27. So that's, if you walk a marathon, it takes you 9 hours. So it's totally doable if you can walk 9 hours. Let's say if you stop an hour along the way, you chat or go to the bathroom, blah, 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 it takes you 10 hours. So in theory, some marathons doesn't even have a cutoff time. So if you can go find some marathon that's 10 hours, you can just walk it and you just run a few steps. You can totally do it. You can finish it. Now, is it good to just walk a marathon just to check off the list? Then that's really a personal choice. If you just want to check to get off the list, you can find a long, long, long marathon. You can just walk it. But then if you want to run it, it's totally doable. 56 young, I would like to say. You can totally do that with some training. If you can just walk a marathon, you can totally run it. I would say you just train with Coach Kat. She would help you. And we just have the podcast two podcasts ago about with Jeff Galloway. That's run, walk, run. That will definitely get you through the marathon with some run, walk intervals. You can totally do that. I would say everyone's can do it. You just have to train for it as long as it's medical approved. And then the marathon time has a generous cut of time. So then that's totally doable. But if you do have time, if you not just want to do that, say check it off this year, then you can take the time, you can train, you can get your half marathon a little faster maybe. So then you don't have to spend 9-10 hours to do the marathon. It's just a little easier on your body. Let's say even if you walk a marathon slow, 9 hours, 10 hours is fine. but it's still a long time on your feet, and it's a lot of impact to your body. So you can still do it, but then I would say if you have more time, maybe you can wait a little bit, get your half marathon slightly faster, and then you can finish that a little shorter, so you don't, it's just less impact to your body. So it's totally, so first it's doable, and second is just how and when to do it. So I hope that I address both parts to this question.
Yeah, very, it's pretty much same thing I would say, Lou, but you know how I'm going to answer this one, Dina? Just like Chef Gusteau, we'll say anyone can cook, anyone can run. And I do believe that everyone can run a marathon if they have base building time period built up in their legs and they're patient, meaning they're not rushing to go from couch to marathon. And we're going to get into that question a little later that someone submitted. But if you're patient and you're doing it like you're doing it, Dina, where you've now have consistent running over not only weeks, not only months, but years, then it is doable. And Coach Lou brought up a great point with the run, walk, run method and the Jeff Galloway method, like we talked about on the podcast. I've seen many runners of all different abilities, you know, complete the Run Disney events. So you can certainly do it. I would say, you know, again, like to Coach Lou's point, I would try to, you know, think about maintaining that at minimum 16-minute pace per mile, because that is when you would get swept at like the Run Disney events with the balloon ladies. And anything slower than that, I do think is really going to be a grind and a slugfest on your body. And honestly, mentally, just to mentally be able to do that, I think it's going to really be a challenge. So if you can at least run a 16-minute mile pace, you can certainly run a marathon if you've completed half marathons before. You have a strong why to why you actually want to do the marathon, not just because all your friends are doing it, or you know, you really are in a rut in life and you're like, you know what, I need to set a goal for a marathon. This is going to get me out of my funk. Let's do a marathon in 16 weeks. Let's do a marathon 20 weeks. If you haven't been training consistently before those 16 or 20 weeks or 24 weeks, whatever your plan that you're doing for your marathon, it's probably not going to be in your best interest, because it's not going to be really the outcome that you want. And I actually just started working, I actually onboarded her today, my client, who unfortunately didn't really have a base level of training built up, and signed up for a marathon, and unfortunately wound up getting some IT band syndrome at the 14 mile long run, right? Which is so common. I see a lot of clients that this happens to. So my answer, just like Lou's, is like, you have to have some consistent running built up. And I really, really strongly recommend everyone at least run for a year consistently before you decide to like do your first marathon. Marathons are not going anywhere. There's no need to rush. And sometimes we're just like, we got to set this big goal, because you got to set the big one in order for you to like take action. But sometimes that's not the best for your health, honestly, because it takes the body a while to adapt to the demands of the training load that you're going to need for marathon training, the number of miles you need to run a week, your long runs. It's a lot on the body when you're out there for, you know, multiple 2, 3, 4 hour long runs. It's a lot of stress to the body. So in order to stay healthy and to be able to run for longevity, which, you know, we're all about, those are our recommendations. But if you follow those recommendations, yes, I do believe everyone can run. It does not matter if you're quote unquote slow, and it doesn't matter what your age is. Like there literally has been, I think I saw a video on social media the other day. I wound up sharing my story. The guy was 100, 101, 97, something like that. And he ran a marathon. So like that, I aspire to be that guy. Like I hope to be that guy. So age doesn't matter. It really just matters in level of training and doing it the right way and making small incremental progress in your running journey. And yes, you can run a marathon. So thank you for submitting that, Dina. All right, next question here. What breakfast would you recommend before a half marathon, and how long before the start, please? Paula wants to know. What do you say, Coach Lou?
stay with what you have trained before. Everyone have their own routine, and assume that if you run the half marathon, you probably have a bunch of 8 miles, 10 miles runs, long runs before, and stay with what you do for those long runs. So each long run is a mini practice for the race day. And the race day, nothing new on the race day. So you stay with your routine. If you want to say, personally for me, I will have either white bread or bagel or muffin. So it's really just carb that's easy to burn off, and some electrolytes 2-3 hours before the race. And then right half an hour before race, I get a UCAM bar and some sip of electrolytes, and that's it.
Excellent. Yeah. So actually, Paula, we just answered this question literally in the previous episode, episode 220 with Brooke, a registered dietitian. Mm-hmm. She mentioned 2 hours before the race is kind of the sweet spot to do your breakfast, which would be those carbs. So a little bit, I guess, bigger meal, not like a full huge breakfast by any means, but really getting those carbs in you. So we gave examples of whether it's a banana, graham crackers, bagel with a little schmear of peanut butter. We mentioned not too much protein or fat at that time, more for taste. White toast, like those are all great options. Oatmeal for some, that works. And then 30 minutes before the race, you want that small, quick snack. So like Lou does his UCAN bars, which I love as well. Some people do their gel right before, or if you want to just have like one or two graham crackers, they're easy to bring. Some people do a banana like 30 minutes before. So that would be the optimal timing for the half marathon specifically. And even the marathon, I would say that kind of holds true. You're just going to want to think about actually adding more fuel. So a little bit more carbs for the actual marathon distance, if anyone is wondering. So thank you for your question, Paula. I hope you are enjoying this episode and it is providing value for you. I wanted to take a brief moment to share a story of a real runner like you who is struggling with a common problem that you may be facing. Here is one of our athletes who got the guidance, support, and accountability from our Healthy Runner coaching team to get clarity and structure on the 6 steps to growing as a runner with personalized strength, nutrition, and run plans. I hope their story inspires you that there is hope to either get over your running injury or to continue getting faster or running longer so you can continue to get in those mental clearing miles and enjoy your running journey again. Here is their inspiring story.
Hi, my name is Sharon Aguilar and I live in McKinney, Texas. And I have been a runner for many years. I began running when I was in my 20s. And I took lots of breaks as I had children and as life and work and other stresses happened. And in the last 2 years, I really wanted to get stronger, to run a half marathon again. And it seemed that every time I upped my mileage, I would get severely injured, which was new for me. I went many decades of my life without injuries. In the past 2 years, it just seemed like I couldn't get past like 10 miles a week. And yet my goal was to run a half marathon again. So I hired Coach Duane with the Healthy Runner coaching program. And he helped me to finally get past that mark. I decided to start training for a half marathon, like specifically, like I picked the race in March. And he had the best training program to help me to get there, like my weekly mileage, upping it, all the parts that I felt like I would get injured at or that I would get setbacks at, he was right there to help me through those. By the end of the program, I was running in the low 20 mile an hour weeks, and my longest long run got up to 11 miles. And it really prepared me for the half. I estimated that I was gonna finish pretty slow, because a lot of my running the mileage he had me doing was just slow miles to stop me from getting injured. And I absolutely crushed my half marathon. I finished it in 2 hours and 35 minutes, which my previous self would have been very embarrassed to say that time, but my current self is very, very proud of that because I finished not injured. I finished with energy to spare. Like I kind of had this idea at the end, like I could have kept going, which I don't think I've ever experienced that at a half marathon. And I felt great. So I'm really glad. Thank you, Coach Dwayne, for all of your help and all of the work. Before I started this training block, and the reason I chose him is because I had been diagnosed with proximal hamstring tendinopathy. At the time that I hired him, I'd had it for about 9 months. In about 2 months of that, I hadn't had any symptoms. So I was really scared that once I started training for a half marathon, that those symptoms would all come back. And I can't tell you that they didn't. There would be times that we would increase runs and I would start to have little niggles, and he always, you know, he had a plan for that and they would go away. So I finished the half marathon, and during it, even though the race I chose had a lot of hills, which if you've suffered from proximal hamstring tendinopathy, hills are not your friend. But I was fine on the hills. I incorporated a lot of hills in my training so that I could get those aches and pains out of the way before race day, and that the hills weren't a problem at all. Anyways, I just want to say thank you to Coach Dwayne, and I plan to continue with their strength training program. Now I'm going to move over to Coach Whitney, and she's going to help me to actually get faster. So hopefully you'll hear from me again, and I'll tell you that I absolutely beat my time from this half marathon. Anyways, thank you. I appreciate it.
I hope sharing that story inspired you and provided you some hope. If you want the one-on-one structure, accountability, and support from our Healthy Runner coaching team of experts, check out the behind-the-scenes video tour of our signature coaching program you just heard about, including other stories from runners who are just like you and were struggling with the same sticking points before they signed up for our program. Just head to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com to learn more and book your strategy call with me today. Now let's get back into this episode. Kara wants to know, how do I safely build up mileage over time going from couch to marathon, and can it be done in 8 months to a year? What do you think, Coach?
This is the question we were referring to. And unfortunately, it depends, because everyone has different base. And if couch, you can be a cyclist or you can be a competitive swimmer on the couch. I know some competitive swimmer who's like really fast, so they have great aerobic base. So even though they don't run much, it's really easy for them to pick up. And they already lift, and they are consistently lifting and things, so their muscles are ready to take on the runs. I will say, if possible, let's say break it into, is it possible for you to run a half marathon that you said the marathon in 8 months, right? Or 10 months?
Yeah, the question is 8 months, 8 months to a year.
Okay, so if you can run a half marathon in 3 months or 4 months, 3 to 4 months, then you have 8 months to build up to the marathon. So it's possible, and we have people who've done that, but it's really varies individually. And if you have that, or you already have those base, what we call base, aerobic base there, it's easy to transfer to running. So the couch is not couch, but it's a couch, an athlete on the couch. It's different from a potato on the couch. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. And yeah, it's that answer that it depends that we all love so much, Kara. Yeah. And I would totally agree. It does depend upon what that fitness level is. You know, what is your injury history? Have you tried running before and your knees always hurt when you ran? You know, have you been healthy recently? Mm-hmm. Have you had a recent injury you needed to go to rehab for? Definitely that's a factor. Aerobic capacity wise, that's a factor. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, I like that your question is asking 8 months to a year, though, because I just mentioned, I feel like I like to have people running a solid year before they do their marathon, but you can certainly, you know, do it within that 8 months to a year time period, especially depending upon your age, your health, your level of fitness. All those variables are key. So if you're in your 20s or 30s and you're used to going to the gym 2 to 3 times a week and you've been relatively healthy, you don't have any injuries, I would say definitely yes. However, if you're in your 50s, 60s, you've had some knee issues in the past, you really haven't been going to the gym exercising at all, you feel like you're a little overweight and that, you know, your weight's a little higher these last 5 years than it's been. Your doctor's telling you, you know, I want to get your weight levels down. Maybe you have some other, you know, high cholesterol going on and you have some other maybe comorbidities, we call it, right? So those are all going to be what we call negative prognostic indicators, meaning your success rate at trying to do this couch to marathon is not going to the likelihood of success, meaning you actually train for the whole thing, don't get injured, enjoy the process of training, and it doesn't suck and you feel like this is terrible. I never want to train for another marathon, because we don't believe in that, right? Like, what's the point in like running a marathon? You know, I guess some people do it for like a bucket list thing. I guess if that's your personality and you like have these 10 things that you want to do in your life and then you just want to like check it off the list and move on, totally cool. You could probably do the marathon. And again, it might suck. You might get injured. You might be running through pain. We're all about like lifelong injury-free running. So if you actually want to, you know, have running be a part of your lifestyle and be able to enjoy it for longevity, then I wouldn't rush into it. But if you're that latter scenario I mentioned, I would probably encourage you to stick more to the year, 2 year mark. And then lastly, if you haven't been training with run walk strategy, that will be the strategy that's going to give you the most success and to actually enjoy the training, not feel like you're injured, not feel like this is a total hard effort to conquer. So that will make it a little bit more accessible to you. So hopefully that answers your question. And thank you for submitting, Kara. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Our next question. How long running half marathons before considering running a full marathon? So I think kind of somewhat of a repeat question here. Do you want to just answer it quickly, Lou?
Yeah, it's more about not just how long, but how consistent are you and what's your level, what's your base really? How consistent is your training? Are you injury free? Have you been lifting? Have you been running, putting the mileage there? And that doesn't really matter how many marathon, half marathon you have run, because you can just do a half marathon with minimal training again, again, again for years. Or you could be just running, training all the time without even running a half marathon. So it's, yes, half marathon is good, but then the numbers doesn't really matter. It's the quality. It's a training. How consistent is your training? That really matters. I hope that answers your question.
I love it. And the last thing I'll add to that is, depends on your goals. Have you conquered everything that you wanted to in the half marathon distance? Like for me personally, I wanted to continue to improve in the half marathon distance before I even considered a marathon. Then when I got to the point where I kind of plateaued, honestly, in my performance, and I felt like I hit this like big PR, it was a little bit of an outlier. It was like a 333, all my other, or 133, half marathon, all my others like 135, 136. And I was like, okay, I kind of met this mark. Like I need another challenge. Then I was like, let's try a marathon. Right. So I guess, you know, have all your goals been met for the half marathon, or are you not as excited to train for a half marathon and you're looking for that next challenge? Then I would say consider running a full marathon. And if you don't have a desire to run a full marathon, you don't need to either, just because others do it. Right. So sometimes we get caught up in that trap as well. Is friends and even just doing like the Run Disney stuff. I saw so many of the dopey challenge runners kind of fall into that trap of like, all my friends are doing dopey, so I signed up for it. Or, you know, like you don't necessarily need to do a marathon. Like half marathon distance is a long distance, and it can be challenging, and training for it, there's so many areas for improvement. So hopefully that answers your question. Thank you again, Dina. We love your questions. All right, next question. Karen G would like to know, while marathon training, what race distance or distances do you recommend racing during the marathon buildup, and how far out from the marathon? Excellent question, by the way.
This is great. And it also depends, but there's something general. So first, I assume that if you include any race, usually means you are doing speed work in your training. So your goal is not just to finish. You want to finish strong. So that's the assumption. Because otherwise, you better not doing a lot of race, because all the mileage is already too much, and you don't want to put extra stress to your body and risk injury. Okay, so if you're already doing speed work. And then a great test is a half marathon 4 to 6 weeks before the race. It's about time when just about you before you reach the peak. It's a good indicator for we call tune-up race. Why half marathon? Because close to marathon compared to 5K or 1 mile race is close to marathon. It also practice strategy, and in the actual race setting, you go there. You go there an hour or half, an hour and a half around before the race start. You practice going to bathroom, doing some strides, doing some warm up, and do this logistically, and you practice the mind. The mental part is so important in the marathon and half marathons. You practice the eating, the dinner, the race day, breakfast, all these things. So that helps with the race setting. So that we call that tune-up race. And that's 4 weeks. It's kind of typical time before a marathon, a half marathon. A half marathon 4 weeks before the marathon is usually a good time. And you want to find something not extremely hilly, because that may make you a little disappointed of the time. And, well, I'll say find something that's close to your marathon course. So if your marathon course is hilly, then you may find a hilly half marathon. And then depending on your training level, you may go all out or run it as a workout, a marathon pace workout or something in between. That depends on your training level. If your training level is really high, you are constantly doing a lot of hard work. So that I have to step back a little bit about this 80-20 principle. So the rule says of all the mileage you run every week, no more than 20% should be hard runs. So 80%, majority are super easy runs. So keep that in mind. That means if you are ready to race a half marathon, that means your volume is usually 40 plus miles a week. Otherwise, it just takes you too long to recover. So you have that decent mileage, so you are ready to race a half marathon. That you can race actually all out. If your mileage is lower than that, maybe 30 miles a week, let's say, then you may run it as a marathon pace workout rather than half marathon race effort, because it just takes too long to recover. So all these things that plays depend individually.
Yeah, so I would agree with those sentiments, Lou. And mm-hmm. I would say this is a common problem that most people make a mistake with, and they run a race too close to their goal race. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking specifically marathon training, mm-hmm. I would agree with Lou, definitely no closer than 4 weeks mm-hmm. from your marathon. So 4 to 6 weeks would be the sweet spot, I would mm-hmm. say. The other take I'm going to go with is, because I know myself, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking about like Coach LaToya, who works with a lot of like beginner marathoners, right? If you're mm-hmm. running your first marathon, sometimes mm-hmm. I will want them to do a half marathon in training, but actually mm-hmm. not even that close to the marathon, more yeah. of, you know, 8 to 10 weeks before the marathon as a normal long run, mm-hmm. right? It's just a 13-mile long run because they've never done a race before, or they've maybe only done one half marathon. And we're going to focus on the race day strategy that we're going to do on race day in terms of the warm-up, like Coach Lou talked about, the prep before, the mindset, the hydration, nutrition factors. Okay, are you grabbing water on the course? Let's practice that. I want you to visualize, do some imagery while you're on this course that you're going to be actually running your marathon, right? Mm-hmm. How does it feel with people running around you? How does it feel when you're stuck behind slower runners? How does it feel when people are flying by you? Are you okay? Like, you need to practice all these things that, like Lou mentioned, the race strategy and holding back those first 6 miles in the marathon. Like, we would have you do a half marathon, and the first 3 miles, you're going to practice restraint, holding back. Yeah. Those should be your slowest miles. So we kind of want to practice those things. And especially if you haven't done a lot of races, it's just good to get you that exposure, because then you've been there before. It just decreases the anxiety levels a little bit on marathon race day. So that's kind of the first off, if you're a beginner marathoner and you haven't done a lot of races. If you're an advanced marathoner or even half marathoner, and this was the case in my, what I decided last year before the Cape Cod marathon, I was going with, do I do this tune-up race? Do I race a half marathon? When do I do it? I was kind of going back and forth. And actually, it was after our episode, Lou, that we did the Long Runs with Spice episode. So if you haven't checked that one out, that's another good one. When you do your long runs, to add some specific pace work into it. And I really came down to the decision that my main goal was to run this marathon. That was the race on my calendar for the year, which is literally the same thing for this year. I literally mm-hmm. just sent a message to my coach today about my plan to kind of race a 5K, then race a half marathon, timing wise, when should we do it? And then with my main goal being the wine glass marathon, the first weekend in October. So last year, that was my main race. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, why would I want to actually go all out race effort if I'm already doing speed work and training? I'm doing mm-hmm. these long runs with Spice or pace work, going at marathon pace, holding marathon pace for, like, I think my longest one was like 8 miles at marathon pace, which was a freaking hard run, right? I think that was like an 18 miler. And, you know, why like go all out race effort for a half marathon when that's not my goal right now? I'm not trying to PR a half marathon. And honestly, even if I did, like, I don't want that to jeopardize the main thing, right? And it's not really what I was focusing on. So what I decided was to actually do a half marathon. I actually ran it with Lou in New Haven, and it was a long run with pace work in it for me. So I had a specific strategy that my coach designed, that I was running, I think it was like the first 4 miles at a slower pace, kind of an easy pace. And then I wound up running marathon pace for like the rest of the half marathon. And it was just to get in a race setting. And it kind of was good even for me, because it was like a while since I actually raced. So I ran one in June, and then I wound up running that in September. And I got spoiled over the summer, always having my hydration vest and just being able to sip my water, sip my electrolytes whenever I wanted to. And mm-hmm. I got spoiled and almost forgot, like, oh, you actually have to time your gels out before you see that water station ahead of you. And I almost forgot that, because I got like lazy in training for all my long runs of just being able to, hey, when it's time, I pop my gel out and I sip my water because I have it here with me. And I kind of forgot. It was like a mental switch that I needed to now look ahead, know when the water stops are, and then take my gels before, because you always want to chase those down with water to help with the absorption. So like for me, that was like good to practice that and mm-hmm. actually be in like a race setting, even though I wasn't racing it. It was part of a workout toward the marathon. So as many of these questions, it kind of depends. I hope that helps you, Karen, but I would agree the half marathon is going to be the best distance for you to do, whether you're using it as a race to like actually like race hard effort, like mm-hmm. leave it all out on the course, make sure it's 4 to 6 weeks before your marathon, or you can utilize it like I did as a training long run, and, you know, build it as a long run workout where you could warm up for 3 to 4 miles before the actual race starts, or you can do cool down miles after to be able to get in like a 16 mile or an 18 mile training run, a 20 mile training run. You can just run with friends essentially for 13 of those, you know, 20 miles, makes it go a little bit easier and isn't so like long and boring if you're out there doing it on your own.
So I would say with that, it's, you can run, it's helpful, but then the intensity of the marathon, how hard you're going to run it, marathon pace or half marathon pace, all out or not as a training, that depends on your training, regular training strength, training intensity. If you are running 70, 80, 90 miles a week, then the half marathon distance, you probably run that spice in your long run anyway. So you could just run, if you had running that mileage, then the half marathon, you can recover. You can definitely recover in enough time, in 4 weeks or something. So yeah, it depends on your training intensity and volume. So you can run it. That's Duane's point. I just want to add that how hard you're going to run it depends on how hard you've been training for. You don't want to suddenly increase it because this is a hard workout. And how hard you're going to run the marathon depending on how hard your training has been. So keep it consistent.
And this is such a good point. And you made me think of another point I want to mention, Lou, that people aren't going to think about is most of you are like following the plan you like downloaded online and here's your plan. And now you're listening to us talk and you're like deciding in your head, okay, when am I going to run my half marathon? What effort am I going to do it? But also remember now that plan you have that's structured out needs to be modified to accommodate whatever your goal is here. If you're racing it, if you're doing it as a workout, that plan, the other runs around it will need to be modified. And that's what we do for our clients, like from a coaching standpoint, is like, we always love the client that's like, oh yeah, my marathon's here, but you know what? I signed up for this race. My friend is running it, or I'm going on vacation and there's this race and I would like to do it. Or if I'm doing all 50 states, you know, so it's like this kind of thing that wasn't in our intentions when we built the runs around that time period. But what do Lou and I do? We need to now modify and accommodate for that. So there's going to be like maybe an extra rest day in there. Maybe an earlier speed workout that you were doing earlier in the week is now an easy run. Maybe the runs after it, right? Like, so you need to make sure if you're adding in this race and the plan that you downloaded from the internet doesn't have a race built into it and around it, and you notice that, hey, these runs are looking a little different than what I did the week prior or the week after, if there is no difference there, that's where we get into like overtraining and your intensity now increased. And now you're increasing your risk for getting a running related injury. And obviously if your main goal is the marathon, that's what you don't want to happen.
No.
So you got to modify the plan. All right. Next question here. Rhonda, we love Rhonda. This is Coach Lou's client here. She's getting ready for Boston. So she says, I always have an issue with the drink on the course. Trying to bring my own has never worked well, especially with the noon tabs. Can you do a marathon with just water on the course or your own gels? Or is there something extra you should bring if that's what you want to do? What are your thoughts, Coach Lou?
There are so many aspects of this question we can tackle on. So I'll start with tackling on what you can bring. First, you can bring some race you cannot have your vest, and some people don't like to run with vest. Because if you have vest, you can bring all the water you need. So with electrolytes that you're familiar with, so that's good. But if you don't have that option, if the race doesn't allow you to wear a vest, there are options. You can have some handheld bottle and then just in the beginning and then throw it halfway. Or if you have some people, arranged within at the aid station, and then you can grab the bottle from then some halfway from the aid station. Or if you practice with some electrolyze, say, salt tab that can be, that has all the electrolytes, that works too. I will say, so that's one aspect. The other aspect is that, can you just drink water without any electrolytes? It's probably not, unless it's a really cool weather and it depends. Sorry, I have to say that all the time because it really depends.
It does.
Because if there are people who's not salty sweaters, or some people just don't sweat much, and if the whole run you don't even break a sweat, then you may be fine without any electrolytes. And some gels have electrolytes too, so you may be fine. But if you sweat a lot, and especially if you're a salty sweater, then you definitely need electrolytes. And there's actually, you probably know the medical term, if you just drink water all the time and you sweat a lot, that the salt content of the blood gets really low. It happens for a lot of triathletes because it's really long on the bike, and 6, 10 hours, 12 hours. If you just drink water, because when you sweat, you're not just sweating water, it's all the electrolytes that goes out. And if you just drink water, then the body's blood concentration gets really low, and that will affect a lot of biological activities in the body, and that may actually bring you to medical tent. And that's actually what happens in many times when you see people, whenever it's a really hot day, you see more people in the medical tent. This is one reason that they don't drink enough electrolytes. So that's one really important thing. Now the aspect, so I talk about two aspects. The third one is that the race, the course, they have, usually they use Gatorade or Tailwind. The other thing is that your body can learn to adapt to these electrolytes. It may take time. You may do it gradually in your training. So if you know that what you're going to have, and you sign up, say, a whole year before the race, for that 12 months, you can gradually get your body used to that. It's possible. It's totally possible that your body learn to deal with that, and that will work. So all these aspects combined. So I hope that address all different parts of your question.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, and I think you're talking about hyponatremia, where you know, you do have low blood sodium levels. Yes. So that is if you're sweating a lot and you're only drinking water. Mm-hmm. So now that level of sodium in the blood is too low, and that's where you're holding on to too much water, and you can get like nauseous, headache, confusion, extreme fatigue. So yeah, that's not a good thing. And especially if you're sweating a lot during a marathon, and this is really most important in the marathon. Granted, if you ran a half marathon on a really hot, humid day, this can certainly be applicable as well. But for the marathon distance, it's really, really hard, especially if you're going at marathon effort. And I know you will be, Rhonda. To not use any electrolytes. It's almost like nearly impossible to not like worry about cramping up. So I would, you know, highly recommend the recommendations that Coach Lou recommended. One thing that I've used, and we've talked about this on the show before, Lou mentioned the salt tab. Some people do like a salt pill. And then I've been really liking the base electrolyte salt. Which is basically, it's in a little like vial and you lick it on your thumb. Kind of gross initially, I thought, but then when you're racing, you don't care anymore. And it works really well. It's a high concentration of the electrolytes that you need. That's what I've been utilizing for the last 2 years for all of my races. And yeah, I think that's been key for me, honestly, in, you know, the performance that I had for the Cape Cod Marathon, as well as even the Disney Marathon after doing kind of the dopey challenge. That was extremely helpful because Brooke mentioned this in our previous episode that, you know, for the smaller marathons out there, it's really hard for you to even trust, honestly, the electrolytes on the course, that the volunteers who are filling them, and a lot of times they're like teenagers, if they're even putting like the proper concentrations, so you think you're getting in a certain number of electrolytes and you're really not. So why risk it? If, you know, the best option is to take your own and what you've practiced with. I think that's key, because I'm the same as you, Rhonda, in that I really, you know, don't practice with Gatorade or Powerade, like the high sugary electrolyte drinks. And I don't want to have a lot of that during the race. Granted, at the end of a race, it can be very beneficial. I had a couple of sips at Cape Cod, and even actually the last stop in Disney as well. I had a couple of sips because that sugar was actually good for the brain as well. Give me that little final kick that I needed. But you want to do what you've practiced with. So if you can't bring a handheld or a throwaway bottle, then I would think about the salt tabs, the salt pills, or like the base electrolyte salt that you directly put on your thumb, and it's sublingual, gets into your system and provides those electrolytes. And then lastly, if none of those options work for you, then make sure the gels that you're using are a high concentration of electrolytes in them. So you are getting some electrolytes for the marathon. So thank you for
that
question.
There's still 4 weeks before Boston, so practice now, then yes. Later.
Yes, absolutely. All right, next question here. Is there anything out there about muscle scraping? I see personal tools out there to buy, but is this safe or should it be left to the professionals? Either way, what is the recommendation with muscle scraping during training and after a big race? Thanks in advance from Courtney N. Thank you, Courtney. Lou, you okay if I take this one?
This is for you.
Yeah. It's like served up on a silver platter for me. I love it. All right. So muscle scraping. So this is where we're utilizing instruments, and these are usually stainless steel instruments. In the rehab therapy world, we would call these instrument-assisted soft tissue massage or mobilization. The most common form or popular, I think, that most people have heard about maybe is the Graston technique. I've taken that coursework. I utilized these instruments within my clinical practice, and I've taught on this these courses on these topics. It is basically to treat soft tissue. That is the goal of it. And I know there are tools out there, like Sidekick, I think is one of them, that they recommend, kind of like you can do on yourself. If you're doing it on yourself, I would, ideally, you should be trained in how to actually apply it correctly. I do think that there is a level of anatomy that you would want to like know, because you want to make sure you're not rubbing over bony surfaces, because you're going to wind up getting super red and bruised around like bony prominences basically in our body. So let's just take the ankle, for example. If you were getting like ankle tendonitis or sore calves and ankles, and you kept scraping over literally the lateral malleolus, which is a bone that sticks out the outside of your ankle, you're going to get super red, bruised, and it's going to be painful, and you're not going to do anything, like you're not treating anything. So I think some level of knowing like the tissue that is involved is very necessary, and also knowing exactly where the nerves come out and are very superficial, meaning like at the surface level. So for example, the outside of your knee, like where people get IT band syndrome, there is a common peroneal nerve that comes out right around there. And if you kept rubbing over there thinking you were helping your IT band syndrome or your IT band, and you kept rubbing over the nerve, like you can literally give yourself like a peripheral nerve injury and wind up getting like numbness, tingling. So I am not a big fan of anyone doing self muscle scraping. The other point that I'll mention is the evidence in actually these techniques, even for a trained clinician to do them, is emerging at best. There is not a whole lot of high quality level evidence out there. There's a couple of randomized controlled trials for certain conditions can be helpful. Clinically speaking, I would say that most patients feel that they feel better when they have this performed the right way and not too aggressive. And the other thing is there's a misconception that you're breaking up scar tissue. So I don't know if you were like running and training and you're like, oh, well, my tissue's like, I don't know, I'm building up scar tissue. I'm going to like break it up, break adhesions up because I worked my muscle so hard. You're not breaking any like adhesions up. That's like a myth, a fallacy. Like originally when it came out, there's this whole movement that you were breaking up adhesion. You're not breaking up adhesions. You're literally treating the soft tissue. So the fascia that covers your muscles, all of that connective tissue is what you're essentially influencing. So I have a set of tools that I have literally in my house. I never ever use them on myself. So for what that's worth, and I've been trained in how to use these tools, maybe that will help you in your decision making. I do not think it's going to be like the magic bullet that is going to really help you in your recovery and in your training for your running. So I personally prefer my massage gun, my foam roller to treat my soft tissue. I've never even considered literally taking out my instruments and doing some self soft tissue on myself. So yeah, I for all those reasons, I would leave it to the professionals. If you've had it done before and you like how it feels, go see your healthcare practitioner who is trained in it. They will be happy to do the treatment on you. So thank you for your question. Love it. All right, Lou, let's fire through these here. We're getting super long on this episode. So let's try to get through Pam's question here. She says, I plan to run my third full marathon in November. After this half marathon training cycle, what type of training should I do next since my marathon is 6 months away? I believe this is Pam in our program work with Coach Lou, LaToya, I should say. So Pam, that's super exciting that you're going to be running a marathon in November. What are your thoughts, Lou?
After half marathon, you already have the base. Then you just keep building the base. 6 months is a long time. I'll break it into a few months and then you different sections. The first section, building the base, and then you add a little more volume and then do in the end at some marathon specific work. So folk, I'll say it's always start with building the base. After the half marathon, take a little time to recover and rest, and then rebuild the base. Then after have the base, and then gradually do your training, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's like honestly perfect timing, tell you the truth, Pam. That I think of it as like a 2 month base building kind of recovery mode, a little bit lower key, no specific workouts, you know, just consistent running and double down on your strength training. So you have our strength training exercises in our program. This is the time period for those 2 months. I would say bump up to 3 days of strength and then think 4 month block of training. And Coach LaToya would be happy to help structure that out for you, by the way. 4 months is perfect. And then for that 4 month block of training, the first 2 months, I would have you do strength twice a week. And then the last 2 months, I would have you do strength once a week, right? So you notice how there's like this periodization and different goals, different focus. You're focusing on half marathon. Now it's kind of recovery base building phase. Double down on strength during this time period and not running marathon pace miles, not running super long runs, but maintaining a long run throughout the week. And then you're officially kind of marathon training 4 months out. And then it really gets to like your mindset and the right like mindset. So you don't feel like you're continuously training for a race and you're not thinking about you just finished your half marathon and now you're training for a marathon. Cause like Lou said, 6 months is a long time period for you to even maintain focus for like structured training for that time period. So your timing is actually like perfect. Most people don't have it like that. They're trying to rush things too quickly and they're going back to back races and they're not allowing that actually recovery and base building phase, which is so critical in staying healthy as a runner. And last question here, Sean S. This is Whitney's client. Sean is just crushing his marathons. I love his journey. It's been so cool to watch. So he says, for someone like Lou, calling you out, naming you. All right. For someone like Lou who runs lots of marathons, how does he go about planning his race calendar, such as spacing between marathons? Which ones to race versus easy runs and et cetera. So for someone like Lou, I can't answer that, Sean. So this is all you, Lou. This is someone like Lou. This is Lou.
I would say, yes, I ran a bunch of marathons last year, but there are none of them racing. If you are racing a marathon, I would say no more than 2 per year. Ideally, only 1 per year. So space really far out, twice a year at most, one in the spring, one in the fall. And then depends on volume. You may run a marathon, it's a workout, that's what I've been doing, but I've been running 70 miles a week, so marathon is just a long run. Remember, the long run shouldn't be more than 1/3 of your mileage. So if you're running 35 miles a week, then you run a marathon, it's like 80%, 90% of mileage is a marathon, then it's not really good. So I hope that helps. It just when you plan, space things out really far away apart, and whether or not you can add marathon as a workout depending on your volume. If you have a lot of volume and the marathon is just your a little longer runs, you may add it. But even with that, if I'm just focused on really hard marathons, I wouldn't even add any tune-up marathons during the training. Because it's just too long. It just, even if you're running slow, it's still time on your feet. That's even if you have a lot of mileage, even if you're fast, blah, 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 the longest run will be 22, maybe 24, but 26 is just too much. And also going to marathon, if you, especially traveling for marathon, it's a lot of stress to the body, so it's not optimal for training. If you go into train really hard, I'm training really hard for Chicago this year. So when I'm still running a few marathons tuned up now, but then when I'm really starting training, there's no marathons in between. It's just gonna go for it, and so not even a workout marathon.
All right. So yeah, and you shared that actually on the last episode, Lou, with the downhill running. We talked about like the Houston Marathon. And you even admitted last year that, you know, you did run so many marathons that you paced and ran with other friends, and it wasn't ideal for your personal running and your marathon fitness. And it sounds like you're doing a better job at prioritizing that Chicago is kind of your main goal, and you're making sure that for the couple months leading up to that, that you're not doing any, you know, specific marathons is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So hopefully that was helpful for you, Sean. Thank you so much for submitting your question. And guys, hopefully this was helpful for you to prepare for your race. We talked a bunch relating to kind of race, and we got into honestly a lot of training. So if a lot of the principles that we're talking about either flew over your head, or you were just like, wow, I had no clue that I needed to even consider these variables. And if you're wondering like how to specifically structure out your training in order to optimize your race and for your unique circumstances, for your time constraints, and to do it all in a safe manner so you don't get injured, that's exactly what Coach Lou and our team of Healthy Runner coaches specialize in with our signature Spark Healthy Runner coaching program. So we provide you the structured run plan, strength training for runners, proper mindset, nutrition, and recovery that we really kind of alluded to in our answers today, with full support from our Healthy Runner coaching team, as well as having the nutritional support of Brooke, our registered dietitian that we talked about in last episode, and kind of our nutrition add-on feature where you can actually work with Brooke one-on-one, as well as working with your coach who's structuring out your run plan, or with myself as your running physical therapist and coach who's helping you get over that stubborn IT band pain so you can actually run your marathon. Learn more about our program by going to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/coaching. Don't forget, get your free download, your race day blueprint, guys. This is going to be an absolute gem of a reference for you. I love it. Coach Whitney really worked hard on the checklist and like the gear that you need for race day. So it's like all formatted out for you where you can literally check boxes, write in your race strategy, your plan for the day. So you don't have to even think about it on race day, which decreases your anxiety levels. And you can just go out there and enjoy your race day. Coach Lou, thank you so much, as always, for sharing your knowledge and wisdom here on the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks again. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Whether you are running that long run right now, hopefully you are crushing it and you're implementing the strategies we talked about today. Make sure you're hydrating. Make sure you're fueling. And if you're listening to this on the Spark Healthy Runner YouTube channel, as always, I appreciate you guys wherever you're listening. If this was helpful, you know someone running a race, copy the link. Send it to him, text it to him, help a buddy out. They will appreciate you for that. And as always, let's maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and let's just keep on running and running races. Until next time. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Healthy Runner Podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. If you found this content valuable, here's 5 ways we can help you grow as a runner for free. 1, grab a free copy of my Spark Blueprint at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. 2, follow my Instagram page at Spark Healthy Runner. 3, join my free group by searching Healthy Runner on Facebook. 4, subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Spark Healthy Runner. 5, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more experts in the running field and bring those lessons back to you here. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or the follow button on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode of Healthy Runner, so you can maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and just keep running. Lastly, if you've been struggling with the constant injury cycle, not eating the right foods for running, or not getting faster as a runner, and you are ready to invest in becoming a lifelong injury-free runner, head to sparkhealthyrunner.com to apply for a 1-on-1 signature coaching program. Thank you again. I mean it from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate you for listening and sharing this podcast with a running friend who can use the help. Now go and crush your run today. See you next week.